races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The state of Pennsylvania has the best breeders program in the entire United States.
When you buy a yearling, it's a little bit like buying a lottery ticket. And we are trying to provide a lottery ticket that the likelihood is to hit the jackpot.
Angel of Empire wins the Arkansas Derby and wins it clear.
Uncle Heavy late, it's a photo finish.
Pennsylvania and the PHBA have the best state bred program in the country, bar none.
The winner, Uncle Heavy, he's a three-year-old bred in Pennsylvania.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back. Second half on this Twin Spires weekend preview. And speaking of Twin Spires, how about Brisnet's James Scully? We'll see what Scully's got for us, which, you know, could be highly productive. They're back racing. And the Churchill's card, the card that the Kirtan is good tomorrow. It's the Monday card, and we'll discuss it Monday probably. In terms of handicapping, because we've had other, all this other action to wade through before Monday. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Tough act to follow with Marcus on there. Very, very entertaining. I'll tell you, I don't know if you could get Marcus to reluctantly agree to it, but if you're going on a vacation or something, you guys could get together and just talk about travel, restaurants, cooking, obscure authors, just a endless hodgepodge of topics. Very entertaining.
They used to call that on Jeopardy. Potpourri. That used to be that used to be the category. Remember that?
Do
they still do that? Do they still offer potpourri?
I have not seen the potpourri in a long time.
Right, that was a classic.
But
I hearken back to the Art Fleming days. I know that Alex Trebek was. You know, was elevated to sainthood, but as the Jeopardy quizmaster. But I've got tremendous respect for the quizmastering. At Colgate one year, I don't even know how I inherited this, even though I was broadcast on WRCU. But the GE College Bowl, we were supposed to generate a team for the GE College Bowl. And so various groups got together, and there was like this play down. And next thing I knew, somehow I'm asking the questions. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Is that where you found your calling? Was that the...
I was already doing Colgate hockey play-by-play. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how it happened, but all I knew was they were like, Steve, do you want to, ask the questions? And I think it was because it sort of fell to me one day, and I moved it along at a much faster pace and got a lot more questions in and stuff. And so next thing I knew, I was the quizmaster for the GE College Bowl play down.
Now, did you give any thought to pursuing a career path, like traveling to Hollywood and trying to intern for
I gotta tell you,
who was it, Eubanks or
Bob Eubanks?
Or
Wink Martindale, Gary Moore, and Bill Cullen. If I had to pick a game show host, and whenever you say the words game show host, I always think of Sigourney Weaver in Ghostbusters when she says to Bill Murray, "You're more like a game show host." That's what they think of the
than a doctor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Or scientist. My favorite game show host probably was. Well, Gary Moore was very good. Alan Ludden had that, the password, presiding over password. That was great. My favorite game. Who? I'll tell you who was tremendous. Hugh Downs, going back to concentration. He was a fabulous game show host. This is tough. Yeah. There's a deep bench when it comes to game show hosting.
Yeah, who knew? Absolutely.
Right?
Exactly. It could be a blog post one day on the website.
Well, you know what? When it comes to I can tell already people are angered that I've somehow smeared Alex Trebek. I wasn't smearing Alex Trebek. Here's my problem. Here's the problem I always had with Alex Trebek. Before he landed Jeopardy, he did that vapid game, High Rollers. Does anybody remember High Rollers? With the fuzzy dice?
Okay, well, maybe I remember seeing that. Yes, I do remember the dice.
So my first impression of Alex Trebek was as this, kind of silly, mirthful, game show host. I couldn't take him as seriously as Art Fleming. Art Fleming had gravitas. When Alex Trebek would when somebody got the answer wrong and he would give the right answer, he was always so trite, like he actually knew the answer. Art Fleming, I believed, when Art Fleming said the Peloponnesian War, you believed that he knew that.
Yeah. I don't actually remember seeing him, so that's a little before my time.
You're younger. How old are you?
I'm 56.
All right, so you're 8 years younger than me. That would have definitely exempted you from seeing high rollers. That's just young enough to have missed high rollers, so that you could have this vaunted view of Alex Trebek. Somehow you've managed to turn this into a game show host style conversation. I feel like Gene Rayburn.
The audience has been listening to this conversation for a while now after Marcus's appearance.
Honestly, if it wasn't for exchanges like this, I don't know if I could do 15 hours a week. That's what makes this so enjoyable. You know what else is enjoyable? The offers on Twin Spires.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot going on this weekend. We have got a we're going to have a Sunday Pick 5 insurance at Belmont at Aqueduct. We've got a Memorial Day odds boost. We have got the Memorial Day odds boost at Churchill, Belmont at Aqueduct in Santa Anita. We have a Power Hour profit boost today from 4 to 5, all tracks, all wagers, get a 15% boost. And we'll have win bonuses for 15% win bonuses for multiple tracks. So check out the offers page at twinspires.com and opt in. We got a lot of terrific promos going on this holiday weekend.
A tremendous weekend of racing. And let's dive in, James Scully. Where are we going?
All right, well, I'll start at Churchill and just mention some races. Gone over that card. I've looked at the Monday stake. That's going to be a good race, the winning colors, and a good card, like you said. But I'll start with race number six. This race, I think, has a vulnerable favorite in number six, Genetics, where she just has trouble getting out of the gate and is picked at 5-2 and really hasn't run that fast as well in previous starts. I'm intrigued by Pride's Crossing. This is a Paulo Lobo, a quality road colt. I mean, I look at his breeding. Her second maternal dam was a juvenile grade one winner. This is immediate female family of Just a Warrior, who won her debut by 5 lengths in the Ellis Park debutante like 2 years ago. And lots of fast works at the Thoroughbred Training Center. He hasn't been training at Churchill. We'll see if he takes a lot of early money. The other horse I would use in there is number 8, Conquest Dancer. Obviously ran first time at Keeneland and missed the start, a Frosted Filly for Wayne Catalano. The winner of that race, Plum Tricky, she's back in an entry-level allowance later on the card. And so I'm going to try to beat the favorite in there. I'm going to play the 7 and 8.
Very good. So sixth race, 7 and 8, Pride's Crossing and Conquest Dancer, 9-2 and 6-1 respectively for this filly and mare, 7 furlong maiden special.
And then race number 8 is a $30,000 starter allowance. Pretty tough, pretty solid field of 10 entered in there at 7 furlongs. I like number 5, Mucho Mojo, who's 6-1 on the morning line. Will be the first start off the claim for Brendan Walsh. And this Mucho Mojo ran well last November at Churchill Downs when finishing 2nd in a 1 mile starter allowance. Went to Keeneland, ran respectably in some tough allowance races. Ran ahead 2nd to Segoy, who came back and won the Grade 3 Louisville on turf last weekend. But returned to Churchill Downs last time on Derby Week on the Thursday, the Derby program. That was a long 12 race program, Steve. And let me just say, I thought at the end of the day on that Thursday card, the track profile changed. Races 8 and 11 were on the turf. Race 9 was a Kentucky Juvenile. The speed gave way in that race. Late runners closed. The next race, Obesos, closed last the first, upset the St. Matthews. And then I thought Mucho Mojo ran a really good race on the front end that day. He went after my Romeo Lima, who was favored, put him away, and just got run down by these closers, I thought, on the best part of the track. I think he'll move forward off that race. I like him in race number 8, Mucho Mojo.
Mucho Mojo here with Christian Torres for Brendan Walsh, 6-1, the 5.
And then I thought that in race number 9, this is a race where Greg Foley has 2 of horses in there. One of them says Navy Bell coming in from California, and right, she'll take some money. But I like Harbor Springs in there. I just didn't like, you know, she got off to a slow start last time in on that Oaks Card allowance race and got way behind early. And that really just cost her. I'm looking for a better trip, a better start. And, you know, she's not going to be on the front end, but she can definitely sit closer. And, you know, this race, I think, is going to have some pace in it. And I'm going to look for her to move forward off that race last time. And because I liked her maiden win, and that was a decent second. I mean, obviously, Denim and Pearls dominated that Beaumont, but I think she's a candidate to move forward off of that race in the slop. And I like Harbor Springs in race 9.
Yeah, I thought she was definitely one of the ones. I didn't think Plum Tricky was impossible either.
No. And, you know, I'm playing a horse out of that race, you know, that she won. So, or I like that Conquest Dancer a little bit out of that race. So, the 10th race is a Kirtana, and, you know, it's like the top four from the Bewitch are the main contenders. I mean, I would give Vergara a chance to run better second race back off the shelf, but obviously Chop Chop looked really good last time, and she'll take some beating in there. And then I thought race number 11 was a really good maiden special weight race. You're going to have some first-time starters in there. I'm going to go with the outside one, Come As You Are, for Bill Mott, the City of Light filly. It just, you know, hasn't missed a beat in training and is bred to run early. And I like the way she's going. But obviously, Queen of Paris, number 6. And even this Wayne Catalano, number 1, she's a little stinker in there with a chance.
All right. So the 9, Come As You Are, 8-1 with Gaff Leone, first Lasix, first timer. Older 3 and ups going 7/8.
And then I will mention the Pennon Ridge. I definitely respect risk tolerance off that maiden win. I thought White Palomino, you know, looked terrific as well, you know, when he broke his maiden second time out. but I really came away impressed by Royal Majesty, the way that I just like his progression. You know, he ran one time in England last fall. Shipped to, you know, came to America, broke his maiden, first star for Belmont, hard fought win, ran in a stakes race and, you know, got an inside trip and just sort of ran evenly to be fifth, but really improved upon that race, second time versus winners. And, I mean, that wasn't a bad allowance field. That Moonlight could be good on turf for Todd Pletcher moving forward. And that Massif, you know, is okay for Brittany Russell. So I thought that was a solid field. And, I loved his turn of foot in there. And I'm going to give him the edge for Bill Mott, this Frankel Colt Royal Majesty.
Hmm. All right. This feels like this is getting wider.
Yeah,
a wider net with every passing conversation. All right, the 5-1.
And I'll just mention, you know, I mean, waiting for the entries to come in this afternoon, but they're going to run that Shoemaker Mile on Monday at Santa Anita. And I am real, you know, you're going to get exalted. He's coming back in that spot. We're going to make a title defense, love Santa Anita. And DeJure's obviously in really good form off of the Frank Kilroy Mile win. There's some others in there as well. Conclude is coming back. But I like that. I love that Johannes is a victory comeback win.
Yep.
Yeah, this is a colt that ran like 3 or 4 times on dirt. They switched him to turf. He broke his maiden, won a couple of races, shipped him in last year. He went on 5-1 in that American turf and just had a rough trip in traffic to finish 5th and exited the race and was off until April 4th. And I mean, that race, that turn of foot he had in the stretch, granted he had a fast pace that day, but I loved how he came back in there. I think he has a big time future for Tim Yakteen, and I'm going to be playing Johannes in the Shoemaker Mile on Monday, Steve.
Very good. Looking forward to that card coming out later today. We'll talk to Hammer at the top of the hour about a big weekend, a terrific weekend, it looks like, at Santa Anita. All right.
And then I got a last-second play at Aqueduct today. Number 3, Leadership Ability in Race 5. This is an 8-1 shot, a filly for Charlton Baker, who's going to get out there in this weak field with very little pace and run a big race on the front end with Romero Marat. Hope to get a decent price. Like I said, 8-1 on the morning line, number 3, leadership ability in race 5 at Aqueduct today.
Should get a price. I mean, it is fifth choice going in, 8-1.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with scratches, but I'm gung-ho on leadership ability today.
The LSFP, the last second Friday push, James_
Yeah, Scully. Hey, have a great Memorial Day weekend. Best of luck to everybody listening, Steve.
Thanks, James. You too, James Scully, folks. All right, there it is. Let me confirm. I think Brian Skirk is going to join us next for a quick hit, and more or less we're doing some advance work for next weekend because one of the most popular stops on the NHC tour is the Monmouth Pick Your Prize, and Brian Skirka, of course, in the solar system of the NHC, Brian Skirka is definitely the sun.
Thought you were going to say Pluto.
No, Pluto. Everything in the NHC revolves. Technically, everything in the NHC revolves around Michelle Ravencraft, but and Holly Short. But in terms of the actual, tour, Skirka's got his hands on more of these contest stops than anybody. And one of the big ones is coming.
Well, let's be very clear. The sun, if Michelle, Holly, Keith, the whole NTRA team, they are the sun. I'm happy if I'm Uranus, if I'm Pluto, sometimes a planet, sometimes not, depending on how you look at it. I'm very happy to just be in the solar system. But the whole NTRA team is the sun, the moon, and all of that. I'm just happy to be a part of it.
I love it. It's a big couple of weeks because Brandon Lee is going to join us. He's got his big activity on Monday. He's giving away eight seats on Monday, but then next Saturday, Pick Your Prize. And I wanted to give you a couple of swings at this, give everybody the details and how they can reserve their spot.
Sure. So it's next Saturday, as you said, June 1st, $2,000 Pick Your Prize Handicapping Challenge. We kind of market this one and set it up as the year's best opportunity to qualify for the NHC. The last 2 or 3 years, we've given out 25 NHC seats. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't match that number again this year. In addition, we also last year gave out 8 BCBC seats and nearly $100,000 in cash. So it literally is a pick your prize. The whole idea behind creating this contest was, to give people any opportunity. Some people just play for cash only. So if you finish first and you just want the cash, you can take 100% cash prizes. Some people obviously play for some combination of NHC and BCBC. So there's a literal prize board with all these prizes on it. If you're on site, you physically walk up to the board and take off the prizes that you want. We do a conference call after the contest for those that are playing remotely to just verbally say what prize they want. But it's a literal prize board with all these prizes on it. Last year, with 299 entries, which is just a phenomenal number, but just tantalizingly short of 300. So now we have the motivation to try to get over 300 this year. But with 299 entries last year, the 33rd place finisher ended up with an NHC seat.
Wow.
So this is not a contest where you need to, multiply your starting bankroll by 10 in order to get, some sort of prize. If you double your bankroll or 2.5 times your bankroll, you're right there in contention going into the last race. So we set it up to spread out the prizes. It's not a massive, massive, first prize. We kind of evened out the prize. Obviously you get more if you win than if you finish eighth, but it's not some gigantic first prize and then minimal other prizes. We want to give out prizes to as many people as possible. And like I said, the 33rd place finisher last year got an NHC seat. So it's Monmouth races only. It's a $2,000 buy-in. 1,000 of that goes to your bankroll. 1,000 of that goes to the prize pool. Monmouth races only. You have to bet at least five races at $200 a piece. And it is win, place, show, exacta, double. I actually just found out, just shows how busy I've been and out of tune. I just found out that Naira doesn't run next weekend.
Right.
So that actually benefits the contest. Normally we would have a 10-race card. With them not running, we're going to run 12 races, both Saturday and Sunday, to take advantage of that. So we'll have more races to choose from for the contest. We also have a smaller contest on Sunday, June 2nd, as kind of a added benefit for those players that come to play Pick Your Prize on site. You'll have two opportunities to qualify for the NHC, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. It's a $300 buy-in on Sunday. So contest starting a big way here at Monmouth next weekend.
Outstanding. We will check in again next week for them to reach you, bskirka@monmouthpark.com.
bskirka, monmouthpark.com. You do have to be pre-registered for this contest. There's no day of walk-ups. You can play on-site or online. FanDuel and ExpressBet are online partners. So if you're playing on-site or through TVG, you have to be pre-registered with me by noon Eastern on next Friday, May 31st. ExpressBet players can either sign up with me or you can sign up directly through ExpressBet the day of the contest. But if you're playing TV or a FanDuel or on-site, you have to be pre-registered with me by noon on Friday. There is no day of walk-up if you're playing on-site.
Brian Skirka, everybody, and the action heating up as we inch much closer. I know we got all of June, but it, frankly, once we get through Belmont, the next thing rising on the horizon is the Haskell, and looking forward as well. Brian, we'll talk one more time, too, next week. We'll hit it again, all right?
Thank you, Steve, so much.
My pleasure. Brian Skirka, everybody, and the Pick Your Prize, one of the most popular contests. So let's get him to 300. That's the objective. All right. Somehow, remarkably, we have gotten back. I don't know how we did it, but we're actually 4 minutes ahead of time. Amazingly. So let me go to Hammer, and we got a lot to do with Hammer actually, including. Although we can also, you know what, we can probably get Hammer on Monday too, once that card gets drawn, Shoemaker and the Gold Cup, and they'll be working on that today, and looking forward to it. I was impressed. I mean, the Cal Cup, the Cal Bred races are terrific tomorrow, and but then the things pick up on Sunday with the Santa Monica and the Daytona. And then there's going to be Monday. So, big weekend, Hammer. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm great.
Where are you?
I'm home.
I get to ask you.
I'm home. I'm home now. I'm home until Haskell week. Oh, I take that back. There's a real possibility that we're going to get out to out to Horseshoe for Indiana Derby, actually.
When's that?
July 6th.
Okay.
July 6th.
I was wondering if it was any time near the Des Moines trip, if they could catch both of them, but no.
You cannot. July 6th is right, and and then Haskell is 2 weeks later. Then Whitney is two. Then there's Iowa for the HBPA convention. Whitney is first Saturday in August. Million at Colonial is July 10th. Kings Plate is July 17th. Travers and Scott Blasey's birthday. Mark your calendar. Travers Day and Blasey the same day. Then Kentucky Downs. I mean, summer's over.
And you know what? When you look at your calendar like that, it goes by almost as fast.
Oh, forget
as you read it.
Forget it. It's nuts. We got the 2 weeks plus of Kentucky Downs. We'll be there. Keeneland, book one, Kentucky Downs closing day. Churchill opens. Presque Isle has thrown a curveball by moving the Masters from the 16th to the 20th, which leads into the Pennsylvania Derby and the Cotillion, as well as the Rittenhouse Square Art Show in Philadelphia.
Well, you got to do that. It's pretty funny.
Yes,
I'm talking to Brian, and I tell you, I was just thinking, you know, how nicknames are made on a fluke thing, and you were talking, and he blurted out Pluto, and I'm thinking, boy, if I'm working there, there's a name right there, Pluto. If we were in the same office, that would be
that's it.
It would be tested today, and if it caught on, that might be it. But it was pretty. So I was thinking, I go, oh boy, he might have just gave himself a nickname without knowing it. But anyway, no, Brian is definitely closer to the sun when it comes to contests. There's no doubt about it. And to hear him read off all those prizes, because the time spent in March during the NHC, there were two tracks that came up as far as people getting there and having fun and making sure they get to the contest was the Hawthorne contest and the Monmouth contest. Those were the two kind of out of the blue places that you heard more than anywhere to get there. So when you hear you got 33 prize, someone finished 33rd and,
yep,
and got to the NHC.
Yep.
And pick your own prize. It's I can see why. When you hear it coming from him and he's explaining it, it's like, whoa, if I was it's a contest player anywhere near Monmouth, that's where I'd be. This is it next weekend or this weekend?
Next weekend. June 1st.
Next weekend. Yeah. So and yeah, or Marcus, you know, talk about you. I get a lot of play off of him because he brings stuff up and it gets me going. He's talking about taking the train. And, you know, younger, we took the train all over the place, down Mexico, here, there, whatever. And it reminds me, you know, you can't take, there's no such animal as a train from Los Angeles to San Francisco. Right? Just, you got to think that's crazy. Because San Francisco doesn't have a train station. So that pretty much knocks that out. So, you know, as a kid or driving up all the years, you could never take a train there. You had to drive. So that's always kind of weird. And then growing up, I can remember talking about a bullet train to Las Vegas for, you know, 55 years now going on. That's when since I was a kid, you know, 10 years old. And now they're talking about it again. It's like 50 years later, they haven't done that. But we're so car oriented here that, you know, anything other than a car is gets a back seat. But anyway, it's pretty funny. John White, I know you probably talked to him the other day, but anyway, just wanted to acknowledge that John, John's hanging him up. And we anyone that's ever been around John or heard him, you know, dedicated racetracker, done it all. And I told him we'll have to have a cold one to seal the deal, and we will. But just a good, great guy to be around, historian, and did it all, really. And you mentioned the odds over Sandy. I don't know who's doing them now. I'll have to find out. But it's like a Wally, you know, it's like a Wally Pip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't follow Elvis.
Exactly. Well, and Mark Ratzke, who writes these humorous group emails, and he pointed out something, and certainly anybody that's listened to John all these years with me knows this. Mark acknowledged that John sends it in. I mean, John bets, and you know, there's plenty of people offering up opinions all over the place, that I'm sure, you know, handicap and have a, you know, have opinions worth noting, but they don't necessarily bet the way somebody like John does. I mean, and you know, I've seen some people make some offhanded remarks when John, you know, talks about an advance wager, a future wager in some cases, or so forth. When John tells you he bet $400, $800, $1,000, $200, whatever, he's not making that up. For those that, you know, doubt the veracity, John bets. That
absolutely does. And he's, you know, he's a very conservative bettor, but when he, you know, when you like something, he goes,
yes,
he bets.
Yes.
And you know, you mentioned that, and you know, if you've been around the game long enough, you can tell, I call them hollow handicappers, the ones that tout, but you know, they're not going to the window. And big difference. But no, he'll be one of those guys he missed immediately. Like he's one of those guys where you find out what he did when he left. It's like, oh, he did that too? Oh, I forgot. He did that too.
Yeah.
We got to fill that too. So, but anyway, good for him. And he'll be gone, but he'll be around. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that'll be good.
Exactly.
Went to go see the girl from North Country last night.
Oh, how was that?
Not what I expected. It was a story about life in Duluth, Minnesota in 1934. Depression situation, and it all took place in a boarding house, and it showed it was not a happy type story, but the group that we saw, the cast of, I mean, just unbelievable voices. All the songs are written by Bob Dylan,
right?
But they're sung by the cast in all different ways and different formats, but just. Just a fantastic performance, and at the end, you kind of hits home. But you know, be ready. Don't be ready for something you're not expecting when you go see it. But it was phenomenal at the end. They tell a story in the first half, and a lot more of the musical type in the second half. But definitely worth seeing. But it won't be what you expected.
Interesting. I saw, it's funny, when I took Tina up to, when I took her up to Griffith Park, or Griffith Observatory, I saw the banners advertising it in April. And what theater is it at?
It's at the Pantages.
I was going to say, is that at the Pantages? Okay.
Yeah, and of course we have season tickets there, and that was one that I had circled, and I'll tell you how off people got. There were a couple people in front of us. They left at halftime because I don't know if they thought they were going to go see a Bob Dylan concert or something. It was pretty deep, and you know, it's sometimes disturbing. You know, dialogue going on there, but it was really heavy, and you know, they brought out it. They got out of it and kind of finalized the story. It really made you think. But the singing and the acting was just phenomenal.
Nice.
It just carried it. So I would recommend it. But you know, like I said, be prepared for something that you weren't expecting. Like I said, a good way.
So, nice.
If you could just imagine Duluth, Minnesota in 1934, that's what you're getting. So pretty wild. But we're not in Duluth, Minnesota here. We're in Southern California. And it's been a rather, we're getting June weather in May. We have June gloom here. And usually May's more of a sunny type. But it's been cool in the mornings and we get some sun in the afternoon. But that's fine. I mean, you know, it's in the 70s. It's do anything you want weather. You don't have to worry about the heat or you don't have to worry about the cold. So good 3-day weekend to start off summer maybe, but the first 2 days are drawn at Santa Anita. Came out really good, especially the Saturday.
Yep, definitely.
You know, the Calbreds sometimes don't participate in full, but it seems like this time they all showed up, so it's a good deal. So do you want to go over those?
Absolutely.
Okay, part of the Coast to Coast. You know, and I've asked for a couple weeks now to get me this Coast to Coast bet. Every time I look, the payoff's 10, 12. You know, they had a one bagger a couple weeks ago for 100. I said, give me the payoff so we can talk about it. I'm don't quote me here, but they told me it's like the average payoff's around 10,000 for these Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep your eye on them because they're cherry picking fields that are probably competitive. So, if you want to get involved, $1 minimum, 15% takeout. The pool's right, usually around 100 and 100, 130 every year, at least for the Saturdays, every week. So, like I said, they've been paying off. So keep your eyes. We got two from Gulfstream and then three from Santa Anita, as usual. Races 4, 6, and 8 at Santa Anita. So,
all turf.
Are they all turf?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Very good. And that's pretty much. The world's turning to turf. It's amazing. We've the percentage of turf racing throughout the country has just grown dramatically over the last 10-15 years. But we love it, and it makes for close racing. So let's do it. So let's start with the Thor's Echo. I got, so there's five cowbred races named after five cowbreds out there. So I thought I'd do a quick rundown of the named horses. So Thor's Echo is the sprint, and Thor's Echo, of course, was the 2006 Breeders' Cup sprint winner. And you think, wow, I kind of don't remember that one, but I'm going to tell you, there was 14 horses in there, and let me tell you, this is the most nondescript crew I've heard of. I'm going to quickly run through them. You stop me if you can think of something one of these horses did. Friendly Island, Nightmare Affair, Ordinaro, Attila's Storm, Too Much Bling, Warfront was in there, Siren Lure, Pomeroy, Kelly's Landing, of course, a nice sprinter race named after him, Lewis Michael, Malibu Mint, Are You Talking to Me, and the post-time favorite, Henny Hughes. Not a real accomplished field there, but anyway, Thor's Echo won it, and hence he got a race named after him. Now, there's a horse in here that, if he was in that field, would probably be 1-10.
You got to pause about Thor's Echo for a second.
Okay.
There's a reason Thor's Echo won that race.
Okay.
Thor's Echo was the one horse, and the rail was unstoppable in that day. The rail was golden. Absolutely golden.
Golden, Jerry. Okay. Yeah. I do not recall that. So I'll give it to you. I mean, he of course was paid $30.
You have the chart. You're looking at the chart?
I am looking at the chart.
He was the one horse, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. The way the rail was.
In fact, it came in 1-2. The second horse was 58-1, Friendly Island. So
Friendly Island, Barry Schwartz.
Yeah, that was correct.
Yes.
No, excuse me, Anstu.
Oh, okay. Okay. They're okay.
Anstu, trained by Todd Pletcher.
All right, that's true. There you go. All right.
So yeah. If my mistake here, 2006, was that the last of the single days? Did we start double days in 2007 in
Monmouth? Correct.
So this would have been the last. So it would have been the sixth race. It would have been an early race, which the sprint usually was. So maybe we wouldn't have had time to latch onto that that bias early in the day.
No, it was they're subscribers or regular readers of Derby Trail were ready for that. I wonder if I could find what I wrote that morning, but they scraped that rail.
Okay.
Butch Lair and crew. I was there, like, from first thing in the morning. They scraped that rail, and
back then, so not that long ago, but
yep.
The racetracks on big days, for some reason, wanted Fast Times, and they used to do that all the time. I mean, this horse went 8-4, and who knows if he ever came close to that again. It's not like he was a prolific win-type horse. He just was in the right place at the right time. A typical Doug O'Neill, putting a horse in because he's ready to run, and poof, went to Breeders' Cup. So, pretty wild. But I looked at that field, and I went, my gosh, I mean, it's just, I mean, somebody had to win.
Henny Hughes blew the brake, too, which didn't help.
Stumbled at the break, correct. But he was 8-5 in there, so that kind of tells you. But pretty wild. I was going through that and went, not much. But anyway, good for Thor's Echo. Like I said, he got the race named after him. And like the horse we're talking about that would be 1-10 in that field we mentioned was the Chosen Braun, who's 17/22. I think he's going for his 17th or 18th stake. And coming off a win in the Kona Gold, he's probably prepping here for the Bing Crosby, the Grade One down at Del Mar, which he won last year. And of course, the Breeders' Cup is down at Del Mar, and I think we'll kind of see him ease into that race. And he's a nice horse. So let's not even worry about picking against him. and he's got the rail. We'll see if it's golden. Big City Lights from the Mandela Barn just won the Palace Verde. So two Calbreds won the two open stakes here, the last two open sprints. So that tells you something there. So those are the two there. Moving on to the Crystal Water. Now, Crystal Water was an early horse for me growing up here, going to the track. And he won in 1977 Santa Anita Handicap. He won it by a nose over horse called Fall of Rocky, I like the name. But these two ding-donged it down the wire, and that was a 14-horse field. And horses like Ancient Title were in there. Wow. Like I mentioned Fall of Rocky. Interesting enough, two horses, King Pellinor and Properantes. King Pellinor was a super turf horse. Properantes, in fact, I think they both won the San Juan on the turf. And, you know, hey, Mom, if they just throw him in there, let's go, you know. Kirby Lane, Austin Mittler, who turned out to be a decent horse. That would happen to have been the horse that reared up in the gate with Alvera Pineda. So always remember that name. But the Crystal Water Calbred was trained by Roger Clapp, and that was Connie Ring, who was the owner of the Hat Ranch, and just won a lot of races. But that would cap them off. If you want to hear the call, Chick Anderson does it on YouTube, and so that's the Crystal Water. So they're going a mile on the turf, and I don't know if Crystal Water ever saw that, but anyway, he earned a race to be named after him. Kings River Knight looks, you know, is going to be the heavy favorite, probably deservingly. He's done well in his cowbred career. He dipped down to open company last time in a lounge race and just, you know, ran through the TV, ran 100 buyer, as you heard Haggerty mentioned. Carmelita's man, Dean Pedersen, for some reason I have Pipey in my mind. This horse was maybe a Pipey horse years ago, but a win type. He's won 8 races, made a lot of money on the turf. You know, maybe he's ready to come back into it, but you got to go through Kings River Knight here. The two Coalinga Road from Carla Gaines made a lot of money, named after an earthquake. Named after a town that had an earthquake, excuse me, Coalinga. but a funny story about that. I was working up in the Bay Area at the time, and it had an earthquake. And this is a town. Harris Farms is actually in Coalinga, the Johnny Harris's ranch. But this town's more centrally located, and the downtown was made of brick buildings. And when the earthquake came, like, the whole downtown literally just collapsed because it was all made of brick in the 80s, 82, 83. And at that time, I was in a landscaping with a buddy of mine, and they had like a brick run. If you needed bricks, they had to clean up the town. You would go there, you could load up your truck and come home with bricks. So there's a lot of coaling of bricks around the Bay Area from that earthquake. Pretty funny. But Coalinga Road, Carla Gaines showed a little life last time, and might be another horse to use on the bottom. Moving on, friends. Valentine, a very useful filly, trained by Joe Manzi in the 80s. I just kind of remember her as being there in a lot of good races. Pink Eye rode her. Green Thumb Farm is the owner, and the breeder was Earl Scheib.
Love it. Yeah.
Anyone who's especially from Southern California and you know, watched TV as a kid, always cut in with Earl Scheib. I'll paint any car any size for $29.95, and then of course you got $15 free metalwork. I still remember those commercials from wherever, but he was the car painting king of Southern California, but a big horse. Big a horse contributor as well, breeder, owner, and Earl Scheib. There he is. So the Franz Valentine, this race has got a little to it. After going top and bottom, and I come up with the bottom horse, Doug O'Neill, who's been competitive in open stakes, drops back down to his friend to play with his friends here in the Franz Valentine. Going to have to overcome the outside post. I don't think that's a problem. As you know, that never bothers me. But Stay and Scam for the O'Neill Barn, a little bit underneath work with maybe Tam's Little Angel. Steve Specht, who anytime we throw up some cowbred money, Steve Specht is a Northern California stalwart. trains for the Williams, Mr. and Mrs. Larry Williams. I mean, they're in every stake there is with their cowbred, their breeding program. But Steve's in here with Tam's Little Angel, has some experience on the synthetic. See if it carries over. Might get a little bit of a price on her. And Madhia, Craig DeLossi, looking at the numbers at the sheets on the stretch out, second time going long, going a mile and eighth. Might be all right and might sneak in at a decent price too. So 11-11 over the 6-8 there. And so we move on to the Snow Chief. Now, obviously, probably more well known to some of the later comers, but Snow Chief is a real nice horse, trained by everybody's friend and wonderful person, Mel Studi. He had back when horses ran, and if you had a horse that was hard enough, and you wanted it in the hands of Mel Studi because he loved to run. So his 2-year-old year, he won the Del Mar Futurity, the Norfolk, which is now the American Faro, and the Hollywood Futurity. And then at 3, he had quite a run. He won the El Camino Real Derby, the Florida Derby, the Santa Anita Derby, threw in a clunker in the Kentucky Derby, wheeled right back, won the Preakness, and won the Jersey Derby all before June in his 3-year-old year, and then came back and ended up winning the Oakland Handicap and a few other races. But Snow Chief is a local favorite here. Anyway, very, very well deserving of having a race named after him. And another, this is for 3-year-olds going a mile and eighth on the grass. And this race has a little, could go a few directions. I kind of having a little trouble here, but Antonio Garcia has a couple. And then the 5, Curlin's Chaos, stretched out, I mean, on the turf, went the mile last time. Looks like he can carry the distance. He tried one couple times before, did not get disgraced. Might be a price. The 5, the 1 horse, Shady Tiger, of course, Phil D'Amato, can never leave him out of turf racing. Never gone this far. Ran down the hill. Ran like he looks he could go. Go the mile and eighth distance. So, you know, 5, 1-5, maybe over the 2-4. The 4, named 2x4, is Craig Lewis. And I'd say what, Craig, with these clubhouse rides, he on the big days, I don't know, the last 5 or 6 big days, he shows up. So 2x4, ran a decent race last time, going a mile on the turf, in allowance company, but he maybe woke up a little bit. So I could use him on the bottom. I'm 5-1 over 2-4, something like that, for the Snow Chief. And then of course we get to the Melaire, another filly. For some reason I associate her only with Hollywood Park, and that's where she won her races. 1986, she kind of tuned up, and this was one of the horses that put John Sadler into the next level. The real filly. So she is a gray filly. It's like, it's amazing how sometimes you can remember. I mean, I remember seeing her on the track. It's just pretty wild. She was 5 for 5 in her short career. Won the Railbird, the Princess, and the Silver Screen all over at Hollywood Park. But the way she did it was phenomenal. So this like I said, this helped John, I don't know, like I said, get to the next level. And of course he went on from there. But 1986, so what's that, like 40 years ago? Like I said, it's amazing. You remember these races. So the aforementioned Steve Specht has a horse called Grand Slam Smile in here for the Williams. 4 out of 6, second couple times. No reason why she shouldn't run good in here too. Probably be the chalk and these state bred races. Sometimes you need to settle. Horse on the outside, Roberta's Love for Hector Palma. Came off won the Evening Jewel, which is a short, so it'll be her first time going around 2 turns. This race is a mile and 16th, 7-horse field, but 4-7 in there. And I didn't look at the last race, but 11-horse field. All the races are cowbreds. Like I said, they stepped up pretty good. Sunday, nice card put on. They're drawing the Monday today, so I was going to try and get a couple names, but I didn't. Monday will be the Grade 1 Shoemaker, the Grade 1 Gamely, and the Hollywood Gold Cup for what older horses are left to run. Sunday, a couple of the stakes you mentioned, the Santa Margarita, The not a whole lot to say in there. The Apple Blossom winner is back at Adair Manor. For Bob, I don't know how you beat her. Coffee in Bed, who we missed her by one. I remember talking about her in the Beholder.
Right.
Clunker and then came back and did score last time. So maybe she's waking up. But you got to go through the Baffert Barn to win that. And then we come to the Daytona, one of our favorite races. I've got to be 20 years old since we started that. And once again, this was named after the car race. Yes, it was. And we used to run it on Daytona Sunday. But it's been all over the place now. But a nice event and always draws well. We got, 11, 12 horses in here. The outside horse could be a factor.
Yep.
Without a doubt.
Amadeus. Yep.
And this horse is also nominated to the Shoemaker. So I'm not sure if he's looking at it, but I did look at the nomination list this morning. I did see that he was nominated to the race. So I'm looking a little bit further inside. There's a lot of veteran horses in here that use the hill and run down it. And the 2, 3, 4 look pretty good to me. Mucho de Oro, a win type. He's won 9 of his 18 races. He's won down the hill 4 times. Air Force Red, a veteran who has, you know, he's the classic down the hill horse. He has those miles in him, but then he turns that over and uses it down the hill, of course, but he's one on two as well. And then First Piece from Mark Platt coming off a good second in the Siren Lure. So a lot of contention in here down the hill for the Daytona, the last race of the day. So 2 days in and one to go. So I think be a good 3-day weekend here at Santa Anita.
No, big time. And I... You know, they knew the Cowbred Day, you know, Cowbred Day does what it does. But then when I pulled up Sunday and went through, and I just started printing. I started printing from the 6th race, which is the late pick 5. And, you know, 1 mile turf, second level allowance, then a state bred maiden group going 4.5. These are 2-year-olds, obviously. Then a mile maiden special that's got form to it, that's got a big full overflow field. Then the Santa Margarita. On and on, Daytona. It's a really attractive card. And then on Sunday, on Monday, I should say, they'll draw today the Shoemaker, the Gold Cup, and the Gamely. So two grade ones. It's kind of weird to see the Hollywood Gold Cup as a grade two. But there's a few races.
That's what it is,
yep,
now.
Exactly.
And a lot of those older races are, yeah. We'll deal with that a little bit more. But anyway, it's good. I was kind of in transit on Preakness Day. Didn't get to see a lot of the show. Did see the race, and you know, any of us who watched Pimlico in the past knew basically that race was over. You go, uh-oh.
Yep.
Going into the first turn. Wow, forgot about him. Phew, see you later. So I mean, congratulations, obviously, to Wayne and you know, having that horse wheel back too. In a couple weeks and do it. So fantastic, Tim. I will go into this later. It's nothing new, but a lot of bet downs. I mean, I think I've made 3 wagers on Friday. They all cashed and they all were like, what? They paid what? So I'm doing what I can to look into that stuff. That's all I can tell you. The you know, bet them at 4-1 and they pay, you know, 620. It's just so bothersome. It's such a turnoff. But let's not leave it on that kind of note. But I'm glad we got through the Preakness. And geez, what do we count down to the Belmont, right? 2 weeks or 1 week?
1 week.
2 weeks.
I mean, essentially,
1 week.
I mean, it'll be Belmont week, you know, for next week. And we'll be broadcasting all week from the track. I'm looking forward to that. A couple of things, Rick, I want to slip in about this weekend at Santa Anita.
Yes.
You do have on Saturday, tomorrow, you have a $500 Santa Anita challenge. That's an online two seats. So express bet tomorrow for the Santa Anita challenge, $500. And then the litany of stuff going on the next, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. in addition to the, I mean, obviously the racing, you got the carnival in the infield for the families. You've got the beer festival Saturday and Sunday. You've got this barbecue contest, invitational going on, tasting, smorgasbord barbecue invitational. And most importantly, maybe, the Corgi Nationals. The Corgi Nationals. Come on, can't miss that. The Corgis will be out running up the racetrack and doing their antics. And there's also the poker tournament, the field, the Folds of Honor. It's a big weekend. I was out there one time. I've been out for this weekend, and it was really fun.
Well, with the infield, it gets full play, and it's fun because they have the Corgi like time trials, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
in the infield, and you can kind of go over there, kind of watch how it works. And I will tell you this: the last couple of years we've had them, I've gone over to watch it, and you know what? It's like going out in the morning. So when it comes time there, and so you can, you know, the guy next to you when they do the down the stretch, you can go, I think I'll take that one. You want that one? Okay, good. It's pretty funny because they run the way they do in the morning. They're
formful.
They're very formful. And then on Monday, speaking of contests, I believe it's a $1,500 contest on Monday as well, which will garner a few seats to the big dance. And big carnival, big thing. And then the barbecue is very good as well. Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you did, because I lost my sheet on that. But nice. Big weekend in Santa Anita, and the weather's going to be just right. As I was saying, it's not too hot. It's not just perfect. So not too many weekends left here. We'll have this one at Belmont, and then they shut it down the 16th, which is creeping closer and closer.
Exactly.
So next Friday will be what? What's the date next Friday?
The end of the month, Saturday,
the 31st.
Yeah.
Okay, so we still got time. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to be there next Friday. I'll be there the Friday after that.
Right.
And right? Yeah, the 7th. The Belmont's on the 8th. So we got a couple weeks here. You were scaring me there with the 1 week.
Well, for me, it's 1 week. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. No.
All right.
Hammer, I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So have a great weekend, everybody.
All right. Maybe we'll touch base Monday once we got that card set.
Absolutely.
All right.
Sounds good to me. All right. Be good.
Away they go. Rick Hammerly, everybody. And it's unbelievable what topics trigger everybody. It's there's certain things that I bring up that definitely trigger certain listeners. In this case, it's the conversation about that James and I had about game show hosts. I appreciate a couple of notes here. Charlie in Lexington, Charlie brings up Groucho Marx, and that's very fair. My father and I would watch when Channel 5 in New York, I guess you got to be in a certain age for this too, they started running You Bet Your Life like at, I don't know, was it like 9:30 or 10:30 weeknights? Do you remember this? They would run You Bet Your Life. And I had never, obviously I wasn't old enough when it first aired to watch Groucho, but it was so funny. Just unbelievably, you want to talk about quick-witted. Groucho off the cuff. So, yes, good job, Charlie. Groucho Marx, You Bet Your Life. Then John Egan here in Albany, John mentions, I left out Peter Marshall, and he's right. He's right. Peter Marshall was very quick on Hollywood Squares. And, of course, I mean, technically, the Squares were, I mean, they were also game show hosts. I mean, they were, you know, it wasn't just the host that was teeing off. But then Steve Sarahan, he mentions, should throw out Drew Carey with Price is Right, and of course Barker for so many years. I'm old enough to have seen Truth or Consequences. That was all of our first introduction to Bob Barker, was Truth or Consequences. And if I'm not mistaken, before Bob Barker, didn't Ralph Edwards? Didn't I think Ralph Edwards? There, and I don't know if you bet. I mean, what was that called? This Is Your Life. That wasn't a game show, but I think Ralph Edwards hosted Truth or Consequences before Bob Barker, and then Barker got Price is Right. But Drew Carey, that's a good one, Steve. And he tells me Zoe Cadman apparently was on The Price is Right about a month ago. I missed this. Was this, how is this not common knowledge and popularized on the Twitter? Zoe Cadman on The Price is Right. Tina and I went to The Price is Right when the last trip she was in L.A. Our friend Gary got us tickets, and should look in on Gary. We didn't get selected. I mean, we just sat in the audience, but it was a lot of fun, I must say. It was a lot of fun. All right, let me get the easiest. We're so easily knocked offline. Brandon Lee is going to join us. I spell my middle name the same as his last. Brandon's going to join us, and it's, as I mentioned, a big weekend at Lone Star, and of course we're all frustrated about not being able to bet. But that doesn't mean that some of you can't get to Grand Prairie for Monday and participate in the big contest there, because 8 seats at least will be given out. Brandon, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. And boy, I mean, you want to talk about titans of the contest world, you and Brian Skirka on the same show.
Yes. Thanks for having me. We are very excited about our huge tournament weekend coming up this weekend.
Well, 2 seats tomorrow, 2 seats on Sunday, but it's the big one on Memorial Day, and you've got a terrific card to back it up, including the Grade 3 Steve Sexton Mile, the Ouija board, the Texas Derby, which came up very good, 10-horse field, Informed Patriot, and Awesome Road, and Real Men Violin, and so forth. Nice field. EJ won the cup, shows up for O'Neill out of his third in the Santa Anita Derby as well. Safi Joseph shows up with General Ledger. Anyway, the card is terrific. Tell everybody, let's get them to come to Grand Prairie on Monday, because you throw a great contest.
Absolutely. So the contest, this is our biggest contest we do all year. It's a 3-day weekend event. So Saturday and Sunday, we're going to give away 2 NHC seats each day, plus the 2 seats allows everyone to also earn tour points, for all of those out there that are chasing tour points. And then also, you can win at a 1 in 15 ratio your $2,500 bankroll into Monday. So it really is an all-weekend thing. We've had some individuals win 2 NHC seats out of the weekend. You know, you can't win 2 in the same day, but you can win 2 over the course of the weekend and just go ahead and get double qualified right here at Lone Star Park. But then on Monday, that NHC seat is 8 guaranteed, and then we will add a 9th if we get up to 90 entries, and a 10th if we get up to 100 entries, and so on. For every 10 entries, I believe we're the only ones giving out NHC seats at that 1 in 10 ratio. So as far as value, this is one of the most valuable tournaments any player can come to. In addition to that, we don't take – this is a zero takeout tournament. So all $2,500 of your bankroll is yours to use. We're putting up all of the prize money and all the costs for the seats to try to drive handle and get people here to Lone Star Park, and just doing everything we can to put the best show on we can.
Well, and you've got, you know, an outstanding reputation among players for taking care of them when they come to Lone Star, and you know, easily accessible from Dallas Metro, and you know, what do they have to do? Pre-register?
You don't even have to pre-register. If you can show up on Monday and you got cash, we will get you into the tournament. And like you said, we're very accessible. We have two major hub airports here in DFW, and we're not that far from either one. So, you know, check those airfares and try to come in. We are, you know, we're very proud of our facility and proud of what we're able to pull off. And we draw good crowds here at Lone Star and have good on-track handle. So I realize, you know, for everyone else out there in the other states, you know, can't bet on us right now. And we hope that changes in the near future, but you know, we're just doing what we can at the track level to put on the best show we can and make the most of what we have to do.
Well, the Lone Star Million Betting Challenge, and in terms of number of seats divided into players, it's one of the most attractive, if not the most attractive ratio anywhere. We always talk about that. So encourage people, if you haven't, you know, if you don't have firm plans, try to make your way to Dallas, and Brandon will make sure you enjoy the day. And the racing, the card came up fabulous.
Thanks, Steve, and we hope to have a great crowd. The forecast looks great. It looks like we're not going to have any rain this weekend, so it should be a great weekend of racing here at Lone Star.
Excellent. Up to three entries per person allowed as well, so make your plan. Brandon, we'll be watching for tweets and leaderboard updates and winners.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Not at all. Brandon Lee, everybody. Let's close out the morning. This has been a fun 3 hours. Going to have KK join us, and I let him know that I hadn't forgotten him. Most often when he's on, it's in the first hour. But I hope it's not a problem, because I'm just realizing, I mean, they got a race day. I think he's got 16 minutes for me. I don't see why not, right? KK, am I calling you too late?
No, I mean, you're kind of ruining the Price is Right for me right now, but
with all this conversation about game shows.
Yeah, right? You got the game shows. I mean, Zoe Cadman, I'm very jealous that she was on the Price is Right, and it's the perfect pregame to a 9-race card at Churchill Downs today.
What if you were on the Price is Right, which game do you think you'd be most proficient at?
Proficient is probably going to be, gosh, that's tough, because you want to play Plinko, right? That's the game everyone wants to play on the Price is Right. But there's zero skill involved in that except for picking the prices of those, the prizes to get the Plinko chips. And if I would get, you know, less than 5 Plinko chips, I'd be very disappointed in myself. The piggy bank game always seems to be a hiccup for some people. I feel like I'm always doing well at that game. I think I'd be most proficient at that.
I like the over under on price tag, right? Do they still do that?
That's a quickie game though. So that's like a, you know, you're in and out. I want to be involved in a game.
I gotcha.
I want to spend the time on stage with Mr. Carey and really, you know,
milk
my fame on the Price is Right.
That way, everybody on the backstretch, it would become a legendary appearance.
I don't think you know this about me, but I'm a complete Price is Right nerd. I used to skip class in college to watch the Price is Right.
Okay, now you're scaring me. And why is it on? Why is it on at 11 o'clock in Louisville?
I don't know. It was always on 11 o'clock in Pennsylvania too when I was a kid.
Was it? I remember it more in the afternoons for some reason.
Afternoon is usually nap time for that target audience. So, I mean, you got to get in the morning. It's usually peak form for that audience in the morning.
I remember coming home from school, and I had a ritual. I would make little pizza on Thomas's English muffins, and we would watch a game show or two.
That's how I became an early lunch guy, is because I would always eat lunch at 11 o'clock during the Price is Right. So everyone would make fun of me for eating, you know, early lunches. And I'm like, no, you eat lunch when the Price is Right comes on. I usually let the first two pricing games go on, and then around the third game is when I'm cooking up my chicken nuggets in the microwave.
Unbelievable. You wouldn't be one of those people that showed up like in a shirt that, you know, Drew, you know, something saying something to Drew or pick me.
No, I'm not that crazy.
All right. All right. Good.
I'm not that nuts.
All right. All right. That, well, I'm glad we established that at the very least.
I'm nuts, but I'm not that nuts.
Well, and of course, this is the mindset that has brought professional wrestling into a relationship with Churchill too. You and all the wrestling nerds have created the belt, you know, the championship belt for the Derby winning team.
Hey, that was all WWE. They came with the championship belts for both Mystic Dan and the McPeak team, and they came with them, and it was all the WWE in partnership with NBC, and so that was an official WWE belt.
Wow. If ever there was somebody that looked like Bruno Sammartino, it was McPeak holding that belt.
and it became a present for Frank Bernice, Brian Hernandez's jock agent, and I've never seen Frank as happy as he was. I called Frank about 2 hours after the Derby ran just to check on him, and it sounded like he was already in bed, and that's just the type of guy Frank is. Showed zero emotion, wasn't even at the track, he was at home, and the next morning, I knew Frank was a wrestling guy. I saw him in the front row when Raw was in New Orleans this winter time, and Norm and I sent a picture. We're like, there's Frank. He's sitting in the front row. And Brian gave him that championship belt, and I've never seen Frank as happy as he was. He didn't care about the Derby trophy or probably the Derby check. He cared about that championship trophy, that championship belt.
That is tremendous. I love it. I love it. Well, I, you know, want to, we'll get a couple of licks in about the weekend racing, but you guys are drawn all the way through to Monday, and Monday's card is outstanding. But tell everybody about the start of your Veteran Horseman video interviews and features that kicked off with Jimmy Baker, because this was a great idea. You and I kind of talked about this, I think, while I was in town, and it'll be, you know, really a treasury. The more horsemen you talk to, this will be invaluable.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to do this for a little while, and just the timing hasn't worked out well with some of the other things that we've been promoting at the track. But, you know, day in and day out, I see so many, you know, veteran trainers that are just down on horses right now on the backside of Churchill Downs, and they don't forget how to train a racehorse, right? They've been in this game for a long time. And so Jimmy Baker led off this series, and it was 2 weeks ago when I put out the Jimmy Baker article. And it's, you know, you see Jimmy, who, you know, had such a, you know, remarkable stable for many years between New York and Kentucky, and he's got 8 horses back there right now. And it's like, you know, he hasn't forgotten how to train a horse, and there's many people like Jimmy. And so I just wanted to figure out a way to try and get some of these trainers back into the limelight, to be able to share their stories, share what they're going through right now as, you know, trying to run their business with, you know, less horses. It's very difficult, as we all know, of, you know, trying to garner the top clients to send horses. And then you have to have some, you know, investments come about your way from your personal standpoint as a trainer, if you're, you know, trying to have more horses, hiring more help, this, that, or the other. And so Jimmy kicked off the series. We're gonna have a couple of really neat stories from some trainers on here. Gary Red Dog Hartledge is one that we'll be having this weekend. Red Dog's got 2 horses right now on the backside of Churchill. He wants to get up to about 4 horses to take to Oaklawn next winter. So he's sort of got that goal in mind. He's got 2 of his horses. He's got his whole stable entered between Saturday and Monday here at Churchill Downs. And we'll have someone like Donnie Habib. Steve Margolis is way down on horses. He's been in the game for a long time. Just names like that, of names that we've known for a long time here in Kentucky, just trying to get their names back in the headlines.
Well, well done. And you know, also at the same time, the opportunity to talk about their careers and you know, things. One thing that I've always felt, we should be doing a better job is, recording the coaching tree, you know, asking everybody, you know, who they worked for, and then, you know, kind of building one of those flow charts of, you know, so the, you know, for remember who, you know, who came from where, who worked, came out from under, you know, it'd be nice to have that as a, you know, as something that's etched in stone. I've wanted to do that myself forever too.
And like Jimmy Baker, you know, Brad Cox, it was his, one of his first jobs was working as a hot walker for Jimmy Baker and a groom. And Brad's father actually bought him his first horse that was, you know, trained under Jimmy, that Brad sort of, you know, took ownership of while he was working in Jimmy's barn. And that's how he got his start. And so, you know, we always hear Brad with, you know, Dallas and some others, but he really was underneath that Jimmy Baker tree. And there's so many others too that, you know, go, you know, under these smaller trainer names and really get their start. So I love that idea too. My criteria was sort of they're in the industry for more than 30 years as either a trainer or an assistant, or an exercise rider, and they train less than 30 horses. So that's sort of my criteria as I'm going through this series throughout the spring and into the fall.
Good for you. I love it. Last night, you had a little bit of a weather delay. One thing I did notice yesterday that was just kind of weird, it happened that there was a pick three in the second, third, and fourth, and I don't even know how I guess I just heard it with Travis, you know, announcing whoever was, you know, in the winners, you know, doing the listing of the horse. That winner in the second that Steve Asmussen sent out with Keith, Curlin's in charge, Frank Jones, co-breeder. And then in the third, Coexist won for Grant Forster, and the late Governor Jones bred that one. And then in the fourth, Cool Quartet won as the favorite. For Jose D'Angelo, a horse that Dreamwalkin', that the late Toby Keith bred. I just thought it was kind of a weird. I heard the one name, then the next, and then the third, and I was like, wow, you know. We've lost all three here within a calendar year.
It's crazy. Then three powerhouse names too of this industry that have you know, put a lot of time and dedication into the horse racing industry. And it's always neat to see their names in the programs. Yeah. And yeah, that was just sort of a weird coincidence last night in those three races. Yeah.
I should also mention that Bo Bromagen and Michael Dehir's Neon Icon, a nice winner yesterday, that allowance win going a mile and a quarter.
Yeah, and you know, snuck that one in on the MTOs. Was the only MTO that was entered in that race. And yeah, looked like a winner almost the entire way around there. Got some pressure up the backside early on from Maria's Revenge, and you know, really shook that challenge off and drew away, won by 5.5 lengths at odds of 1-2. And yeah, very impressive winner. I think some bigger things are in the future for this filly.
I just wanted to see 81 Buyer is now 2-for-2. This is yet another Arrogate that busted out. So keep an eye on this 3-year-old filly. Looks like she, tell you what, take another step or two forward. I'm sure Rusty's got Alabama in the back of his mind already with her. She broke her maiden, broke her maiden going a mile and a 16th.
Yeah, already proven at a mile and a quarter distance. Went 2:04.4 yesterday and did so very easily. So, yeah, the speed figure wasn't, you know, anything to
nothing wrong with
your
that
jaw at. But,
it's all right.
You know, your second start. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, Rusty's not squeezing that lemon dry early. Turn to the weekend a little bit, and certainly, you know, certainly the card on Monday, and I think James said he is off, so I'll do some of this with Nick Tamaro on Monday. Maybe we'll arrange to get Nick and Travis together for a little session. And for those that haven't looked ahead yet, the Winning Colors obviously is the feature, but it's a terrific card.
I mean, it's unreal, Steve. It's 7 of the 9 races are either maidens or allowances or the stake, featuring the Winning Colors in race 8. $250,000 for the 21st running. Dazzling Blue is the tepid 5-2 morning line choice in there. Got several stakes winners in there. Got the speedy BG Warrior who will be setting the pace up front with Albin Jimenez and seeing if you can play catch me if you can on her. Really fun race. And then, the first two races are both claiming races, but race three is a field of 10 for a maiden auction, and then it goes to either allowances or stake and closes with a very competitive main special weight contest in race number 9, first post 12:45 p.m. Eastern time. It's a great card, and save those bullets for Monday because it's going to be one solid race after another.
No line yet, but there's a lot of speed in that Winning Colors, and the horse from down inside is probably, it's not the only horse from off the pace. Clearly Unhinged can press or come from off. But Royal Spa down inside is a little intriguing to me. And she happens to be 2 for 2 at Churchill. And she might be a decent enough price. What do you think Royal Spa is price-wise?
She's going to be 8 to 1 on the morning line.
That's me.
That's Stephen L. Bick.
Royal right Spa, and this is a Violence filly, a homebred for Breffni Farm, and Rudy Brissett, who, by the way, very quietly, Brissett is 3 for 6 at the meet.
Yeah, he's having a great meet, great, time in Kentucky. He's off to a great start, and hopefully today, Steve, on today's card, I know Scully always gives sort of the last-second push. And the opener on today's card, a Hall of Fame trainer just walked into our office, who I think is going to get off the duck in today's opener, Philharmonic for Nicholas P. Zito.
Ah!
Tell him I said hello.
Well, you come say hello. You got 2 minutes. I know that's not enough for you.
Shalom.
Shalom to you.
God bless you. The shows are incredible.
Thank you,
and
Nick.
And the blue man was a Hall of Fame show if there ever was one. That's incredible.
Well, he came up that day, Nick. He came up live at Pimlico to see me that morning. And
wow.
So it's the best tape, it was the best tape to run because he was right in front of me. And so that made it even, not that he wasn't great on the phone, but I mean, you knew him, you knew him as well and as long as anybody.
Well, I couldn't thank you enough. You saw my text. Thank
I did.
You for that.
Yeah.
I couldn't thank you enough. That was incredible. I mean, that's what sports is about. You know, in racing, I don't have to tell you. You know, I guess somehow I'm still a character, I guess.
You guess.
You need more. And Blue was certainly one that, just brought it out. And everybody loved him. And that's what the game needs. You know, it just needs. And of course, it needs you. Glad you're on. That's good.
They're the greatest. How about a quick, your thoughts about the first two legs of the crown? What'd you, Mystic Dan?
Well, I'm glad you said that, the crown. Because I think if for Majestic Dan, and by the way, the Dan horses, you know what I'm talking about. I was scary because I was hoping for the rain. And as you know, Churchill does a great job with drying out of the track. And they still had some wet in it. So I really liked him a little bit, but I didn't use my head. Now I'm rooting for him, obviously. But then I thought about something, Steve. I don't know how you feel, but the Triple Crown is supposed to be hard. And if it's 1.25 miles, I know, why it is. But
yeah.
On the other hand, I you see, you said the crown, because then what are you going to have to call it, the crown? And not the Triple Crown? Because if Dan won, right? If he won,
yep.
Now he goes. Now we got stories about Asterisk. We got stories about it. It's not.
You're right.
That's
true. That's true.
So, and here's the thing. I don't see why they can't start it around the turn, because you're still going past the fans, ain't you? First time.
It wasn't even. It was never about. It was never about the racetrack side. It was about, you couldn't put any people. The building was only going to hold 10,000, 12,000. Well, there was no point. People are so excited, Nick. This thing's going to be off the charts exciting, and it was off the charts exciting to be able to say hello. I'm glad you walked in when you did.
Okay. Yeah, and actually, you know what? I guess if it was a Triple Crown, you couldn't get into a restaurant.
You can't now. They say they say there's not a booking to be had, except for you, because, you got the...
Yeah,
you can...
The only thing is, like Blue said, you know, he's a little short, so Steve, I might have to ask.
Too funny.
Anyway, no, Nick. But listen, God bless you, and great job, and I'll put you back with your main man. Hold on.
I appreciate it, and KK, that was fabulous. What a great wrap.
Yeah, that was a great last-second appearance there. I figured you'd enjoy that.
Happy Memorial Day to everybody in the Ville. I'm still upset that you burned down the Krispy Kreme. Very upsetting.
So am I. Just force you to go to King Donuts next time.
Horse racing, KK, everybody. Terrific weekend ahead of Churchill, and a terrific weekend that we will pick up with you on Monday morning. We'll do recap, but we'll also be handicapping and enjoying what should be a fabulous day of Memorial Day racing Monday. Good luck. We're headed to Rochester to the baby's first birthday. Marley turns one. Thanks to KK, Nick, Brian Skirka, Callie Francois, Marcus Hirsch, Scully, Hammer, Brandon Lee, and Nicholas P. Zito popping up like a genie on game show host weekend preview at the races. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you Monday.
Fall on the apple. Lord, there goes a Buick 49. Black sheep of the angels riding down the line. We think there is a soul.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.